Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kennan, and we are going to build a Frankenstein offensive tackle today. Now, this was a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. And it's mostly because at the end of the day, again, we're trying to build the best that we can. We are choosing the best pass protector that we can, the best run blocker, the best length, strike power, mental processing, athleticism, and flexibility. But we're doing this as a competition to build the best singular blocker that we can. And so trying to figure out, much like tight end, where to place each name is a little bit strategic. And so you'll hear a lot of names over. We were unable to do a snake draft for this. Just wasn't going to happen. But we do have different names at different places here. Let's get right into it, unless Corey has anything to add here. How you doing today? We recorded this morning in my morning, your last night. And, you know, I really enjoy just starting my day seeing your face and ending my night seeing your face.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm a little sluggish today. My kids, my son woke up at 5 a.m. screaming and then woke my daughter up. So that was a lot of fun. So I do feel a little draggy here. I'm at like that midday lull and I'm trying not to snack, to kind of keep myself going. So it's a little rough right now, but we're making it happen.
Yeah, I had a great, great day with my son for most of the day. My wife had meetings after meetings after meetings. And then I accidentally scratched my son's ear as I was changing him. And then he grabbed onto a hot pan as he was helping me cook. I took my eye off the ball for literally half a second. And that dude, that little guy is 15 months old. And I swear that man has a 7-foot wingspan. He reaches things. I have no idea how he reaches. And so, yeah, a little bit of a burn, a little bit of a scratch. But he is taking both of those injuries like a champ, just like the power and desire of these offensive linemen. Let's get into it. Pass protection. This one's just got to be easy, right?
This is pretty easy. We talk about all the time. As
technically proficient or not as you believe him to be, it might not always be the prettiest, most technical thing in the world from a footwork or a hands perspective. But when you go through a gauntlet, like you said, of SEC pass rushers who are going to go on day one and day two of the NFL draft, and you allow zero sacks, and it doesn't matter what charting you want to use, this dude dominated high-level SEC opponents. The best of the best, consistently. And that is Missouri's Armin Membau, somebody who I have been on since I first turned on the tape of the Texas A&M game to watch those defensive ends for Texas A&M. And I said, ooh, this right tackle is dominating. The left tackle looks half decent, but this right tackle is something else. And then I watched him play South Carolina. And then I watched him play, you know, so many of these SEC opponents and just absolutely dominate. So it's Armin Membau, and this really shouldn't be much of a conversation.
No, it's Armin Membau for me as well. And I just kind of want to go through here the list. Boston College, Donovan Ezeraku, Texas A&M, potential first-round pick, Texas A&M, Nick Skorton, and Shamar Stewart. Stewart's going to go first round, Skorton potential first-round pick. Auburn, they've got a kid, Keldrick Falk, who's coming out next year. Alabama, Q Robinson, mid-round pick. Oklahoma, Ethan Downs,
late-round pick. And also, Overton too.
And Nick Overton, LT Overton, not Nick Overton, LT Overton too. Yeah. Who went back to school, South Carolina, Kyle Kennard, and the freshman phenom. I can't think of his name right now.
Yes.
Arkansas, Landon Jackson, like all of these players are on his schedule, are on his resume. I went and I watched the Arkansas Missouri game to evaluate Landon Jackson. And one, I'm just not a huge Landon Jackson fan, but like I was very turned off by Landon Jackson, mostly because of this game as well. And there aren't a lot of reps because Landon Jackson does tend to go from his right side over left tackle most of the time. But like there aren't reps where Landon Jackson's beating him. Shamar Stewart does have a pretty good lock and shed, lock peak shed on Armon Membau, but like that might be the worst rep that Membau had all season as a little run game, like lock peak shed, and we're not even using him for run game in this case.
I'll say there was a rep or two where LT Overton was coming from like 4i or 3 tech and looping around and beat him through the chest. But that's really it. If in a phone booth against somebody with some really good speed to power, everything else snatched.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So this is easy. Pass pro, Armon Membau. All right, moving on. Run blocking. We go a little divergent here. So I'll let you go first.
Yeah, two different kinds of players, types of players here. And mine, I won't say it's just solely based off of the Ohio State game. And what I will say about Josh Connerly Jr., who I chose here, great athlete. We know he's a great athlete. Billed as somebody who was going to be like a top-level pass protector. But I actually think his run blocking is what really stood out to me this year. I think he was much more consistent, and I felt that he has improved his core strength a little bit as well in 2024, heading into the NFL draft of 2025. But he absolutely dominated the Ohio State duo trio. I mean, everybody that Ohio State runs out at him. But in that first game, they just ran outside zone to the left side. And Josh Connerly just absolutely blew lanes out of the water for Jordan James to run through. And I will say we've talked about him kind of playing down to competition. I think some of his worst tape is against some of the worst opponents.
Purdue, Idaho. Like, however, those are brutal.
You're not going to be playing Purdue or Idaho at the NFL level. You're going to have it turned on every single week because you're playing the best of the best every single week. And so when you play your best against the best of the best in college, that's going to translate, right? But no, the run blocking is there, and part of it is the athleticism. Part of it is because I think he is very technically proficient with his hands overall. And when he's able to use that athleticism and natural raw power that he does have in a progressive manner or in a proactive manner instead of reactive and pass protection, I think that it shows up a little bit more.
Yeah. So for mine, because the superlative is defined as length and strike power, not necessarily strike
technique. Run blocking.
Oh no, we're on run blocking. Yeah, my bad. I jumped the gun there a little bit. For run blocking, I am going to go with Texas left tackle Kelvin Banks here. Again, I do think Kelvin Banks' balance and pass pro is a little iffy. He's on the ground quite a bit, and I know people really love Kelvin Banks, and his pass blocking grade is really high. But I do think that's a thing here. But I'm not using him for pass blocking anyway, but I do think once he gets into the frame of a guy, he does have the ability to drive, to de-cleat, to completely displace defensive ends, defensive four eyes out of gaps here. And even like, there's a lot of really fun reps of him getting wide on boundary runs as well, and burying safeties, burying corners, getting out wide and doing work along the boundary as well. So
he's a good athlete.
Again, I think he's more of a guard, mainly because of maybe some of those set depth issues that I've had with him at Texas, which is partially scheme, partially I think not a lot of comfort there, because when he does start to get outside of himself is when we start to see some of those balance issues with him. but in terms of being a run blocker, dude, guy's powerful. Guy is super powerful. Again, we could have gone a variety of directions here, but this is where Kelvin Banks is coming off the board for me. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right in and do length and strike power as well, because for this one, I already jumped the gun a little bit. This is length, strike power, not so much hand technique or strike technique. I'm going to go with the other Texas offensive tackle here with Cam Williams. who measured in at the combine with 34 and a half inch arms. And this is an event where every offensive tackle, offensive lineman who went to the Senior Bowl measured in an inch shorter. So his arms could very well be 35 inches based off of the discrepancies that we saw with the measurements at the combine. Cam Williams is pretty clunky. He's a mess, technically. Like, let's call it what it is. And that's coming from somebody who got really high on him beginning of season, mid-season, and then it just kind of plateaued and got really sloppy from there on out. And he did get hurt down the stretch there at the end of the season as well, but ended the season on a really sloppy game against Ohio State where he was out over his waist, out over his heels a ton. But when he does strike and when his strike timing is on point, the dude is powerful. The dude is powerful. And again, we're talking probably 35 inch arms here. He really has the ability to send shockwaves through the man across from him when he does have precise strike timing. Again, near the end of the year, that got pretty rare. I do think he got a little overeager, and I don't know if that's playing through some injuries and, you know, maybe some adrenaline shots, for lack of a better term, or some adrenaline of playing in big games where he did get out over himself a little bit there. But it's pretty weird because early in the season, I did see some good patience where he's waiting on defenders to kind of throw first, and that just kind of disappeared. But again, we're going straight power strike or strike power and length here. And so that's why I'm taking Cam Williams in this regard.
Yeah, I think it's a fair pick. I really do. I just couldn't do it just because of the bad taste that was left in my mouth, towards the end of the year there. And I think Kelvin Banks, you know, over 10 inch hands, over 33 inch arms, 33 and a half, I believe was the combine, measurement there. Mm-hmm. And so for me, as somebody who I think he's a really good pass protector, I think if there is an issue with the pass protection, it's exactly what you said, Corey. I think technically with his hands, he is very, very good. I think if anything, it is the feet. It is, you know, kind of losing the balance because, and I think part of it is an issue, and this might have been part of Cam Williams' issue, is not being in front of teams in the playoffs and having to have their quarterback actually drop back and pass and have a little bit more set depth than they are used to, because that offense is very much manufactured and get the ball out of Quinn Ewers' hands as fast as humanly freaking possible. So I think that might have been part of the issue with some of the issues with Cam Williams as well. But I think when we look at Kelvin Banks, the consistency, we can talk about blocking grades, but just his blocking efficiency overall as a pass protector, it ain't because of his feet. And I think it is because he is a large, powerful human being who is technically proficient from the waist up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can't argue with going with Kelvin Banks there. Again, some fun reps when he can just unload on somebody, dude. Yeah. Really fun reps there.
And we can't argue about this next one either. It mental processing is Will Campbell.
No, you won't catch that guy oversetting ever.
Ready-made pro.
Yep. Ready-made pro. It helped. Well, I was going to say it helps that he didn't have a mobile quarterback, but he did a year ago. And where I can really tell how an offensive tackle understands passing concepts or who he's blocking for is if he's out over, like, or under protecting or over protecting the quarterback that's behind him. And with Garrett Nussmeier, it's pretty easy because he's not trying to leave the pocket, right? So, like, and for the most part, actually, Jaden Daniels didn't either. Jaden Daniels loved to stand in the pocket and throw even under some pressure there, but Jaden could move and get out a little bit. But it seemed like Will Campbell understood what Jaden expected of him, and Jaden understood what was expected of him in that case as well. You can find some really ugly reps where quarterbacks are outrunning their protection or offensive linemen are kick stepping on three-step drops and letting up really easy inside tracks or things like that. Will Campbell does such a good job of marrying his sets with whatever step drop or whatever quarterback he has behind him, whatever that preference of that quarterback is within the confines of a five-step drop, a three-step drop. No oversets on his rep or on his tape at all. Like I couldn't find a single overset. You can catch him out a little bit when going against length and speed and bend a little bit, but that's not mental processing. That might be just a little bit of lack of length and foot speed a bit. But yeah, man, he marries his game with the offensive structure pretty well there.
Yeah. Connection to the left guard, the way that he plays games is perfect as well. He's that dude. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I think the guard talk made a lot of sense, because of the mental processing, because of his ability and spatial awareness both ways, and the ability to understand what is coming at him and how people are trying to attack him. So the connection that he has with his playing partner on the left side there, really important in this conversation as well. Athleticism. We went different routes here. I went the route of somebody who I think is a center, and I think he's a center because he is such a great athlete. The NFL, at least at the Senior Bowl, might believe that he is a tackle. We don't love that here, but Marcus Bowe, for any deficiency that he has to tackle, it certainly ain't athleticism, because he is absolutely smooth, like butter. Watching him, and I can't remember what game it was, but he gets out, gets north, he swims the defensive end who he's leaving unblocked, gets north, and then his hips just absolutely, like a painting, get outside and he's gone. And that's the moment I was like, this dude is legit. This dude can move. This is a legitimate athlete. And that is the moment I wanted him to play center. Because he's also somebody who you very well could have used as a run blocker here too. Mm-hmm. His hands are so good. He's so ferocious in a phone booth as well. But that athleticism, that ferociousness, you're going to see him when we build an interior offensive lineman as well, because I'm going to use my bias for him as an interior player and the NFL's bias to use his name twice here.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I've been a Marcus Bowe guy since May of 2024. So going all the way back there, and ironically, the first game that I watched was the game that he broke his leg in. But leading up to that, like this, I was like, this is some of the best tape I've watched all summer, or I guess spring at that point. Like, and
I remember 20, 30
deep. And I was like, this guy's freaking good. His hands, his snatch trap, he has a nice one-handed stab, like straight into the chest. Like, came into this season and that mobility didn't go anywhere despite that broken leg, and you know, talking to him a bit, like it was a clean break, so not a lot of structural damage or anything like that, so it was a pretty easy recovery for him. I mean, as easy as a recovery from a broken leg can be. But and that those movement skills didn't go anywhere. How smoothly he climbs, how easily he can decelerate and drop his hips at the second level as well when he gets there, it's all beautiful stuff. I didn't go with Marcus Bowe because I did view him as an interior offensive lineman, so I didn't go with him here. I went with Iowa.
A little.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. I went with Iowa State offensive tackle Jalen Travis here. So I watched Jalen Travis's Princeton tape over the summer because he transferred from Princeton to Iowa State this past year, and I was like, And so I didn't get back to him this year until after the combine. And then he went to the combine at a legitimate 6'7.5" and 339 pounds. And jumped 35 inches and 9'4" in the broad jump. That 35 inch in the vertical jump is 99th percentile, and that broad jump is 93rd percentile, rounding up on both of those. Like that's pretty darn good at 340 pounds at 6'7". He ran an 80th percentile 40 yard dash as well. Didn't do agilities. And then so I was like, I should probably turn this back on. And it's like, oh, this guy should probably go day two. Because his tape at Iowa State is much better. Again, naturally taller offensive tackles lack a little bit of knee bend. Like it just is what it is. So his frame is a little bit exposed, but with 35 inch arms, the dude's got it. Like he's got length to keep some edge rushers at bay. Coming from Princeton, you know that he's a smart dude as well. So like there's a lot to love here, but I'm going with him based on these testing numbers alone. And then going back to the tape and saying, oh yeah, these numbers translate, how he kicks out of his stance and how he can change directions and redirect pretty smooth too, even though he didn't do agilities. A lot to like about Jalen Travis. And ultimately I think he's probably going to go top 100, dude. Like it's hard to see a 6'7", 240 or 340 pound guy who can move like that not get drafted high. And that's from somebody who hates very tall offensive tackles. So, at the end of the day, he scored a 9.91 RAS score as well. So I guess it's redundant, a 9.1 RAS from his testing metrics. So I'm going Jalen Travis right here.
And then flexibility. Preseason, we both had Emory Jones. Postseason,
went out for that preseason evaluation.
Yeah. Postseason, we both have the same player again. Different name, though. We have Ohio State's Joshua Simmons. And we needed to put him somewhere. And I still have my reservations about Simmons simply because of the schedule that he faced.
Mm-hmm.
However, he was the best offensive tackle in college football through the first, 7 weeks of the season? And that's including Armon Membau. I think that when you watch Simmons play tackle, there's more... I'm trying to think of the word. Like, it, you know when a guy just looks like a quarterback? Like, Josh Simmons just looks like an offensive tackle out there. Like, when we talked about Membau and his efficiency as a pass protector, and it just doesn't always look right. That's not the way with Simmons. Everything that he does, every movement skill that he has, is everything that we have always kind of searched for mm-hmm. in offensive tackles. And sometimes those super athletic, super flexible offensive linemen, sometimes they come from the West Coast. And sometimes they play in the Pac-12, and sometimes we fall in love with the really pretty feet, and sometimes the feet and the flexibility and the core strength, they're not all there, and so they struggle at the NFL level. But Simmons is somebody who pairs that high-end athleticism with the ability to take length through the chest and really arc back and drop that anchor and settle down. I think that if we see anything close to what we saw for the first 7 weeks, this is somebody who you're probably going to get a steal because of the injury from him, because of the questions, because he'll probably be the third, fourth tackle off the board with the ability to be the best offensive tackle in this class. By far.
Yeah, I went with Josh Simmons on flexibility here too. And Josh Simmons is my offensive tackle one, considering mm-hmm. that I do have Will Campbell graded as a guard, and it seems like I'm against consensus there. And I'm okay with that. Like, I it's fine. The amount of knee bend that he plays with is unbelievable, to be honest. Like, that guy's stance is so low. His hips can sink so low to match bend, to match speed, to match his outside shoulder, to protect his outside shoulder. Again, got hurt right as Ohio State was about to enter that gauntlet of in the Oregon game. And then Penn State was after that. And so we didn't get to see the Abdul Carter, Josh Simmons matchup, which we would have loved to have seen, and some things like that. But the guy came into Ohio State sub 300 pounds, and he still plays like he's sub 300 pounds, even though he's probably playing at like 305, 307. Unbelievable athlete. And again, at the end of the day, that core strength to absorb contact, to dig his anchor in. But for me, what it comes down to is that ability to redirect, how smooth of an athlete he is as well. That change of direction is phenomenal from Josh Simmons, and that knee bend to be able to maintain integrity with his pad height, even if he is going against guys who can bend like a rubber band. So I am also going Simmons here, who I also have pretty high marks on. So, yeah.
And that's it. That is building our Frankenstein offensive tackles. Corey, this was a fun week, and the fun's not over because we have a lot of positions to go.
Mm-hmm. We might have to try to sneak adapter draft in there somewhere, but.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely have to. We didn't do one this week, did we?
We did all four.
Oh, that's ridiculous. We screwed that up. We screwed that up. Why don't we do this? Why don't we finish off offense for Tuesday's episode?
Dafter draft.
Split it up with the Dafter draft, and then we will go into the defensive side of the ball.
I love it.
I think that's how we do it. All
right. Sounds great to me.
Everybody, have a fantastic weekend. I don't know what your plans are. Stay safe. And spend time with your family, your friends. Watch a little bit of around midnight, Formula One, if you are a fan of racing, because the Japanese Grand Prix is one of the best that there is. If not, you can stay up. You can watch a little bit of all 22. You can have the race to your side, even if you don't care about it. I know where you can get it. If you don't already have it, let me know. And have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that I love you. And if Corey has nothing else to say, then we are out of here. Goodbye.